Hello, you guys. I'm here. Woo! And for my YouTubers that watch me, happen to watch me on YouTube, I'm finally here. Video. I found my camera. Actually, my husband found my camera. He was unpacking the night before last. And he found it, and I had been looking all over for it. So I'm thankful. I'd actually done an audio version at the beginning of the week, but when he found the camera, I thought I'm doing a video version. I'm redoing this because I need to show up for my YouTube people. I actually don't have a lot of subscribers on YouTube, but it doesn't matter. Even if I just had one, I would want to show up for y'all. But I hope y'all are doing well. So we're doing this slowly, right? Y'all, a lot of y'all know we were in the middle of a move. We found the camera. I still haven't found my mic, so I'm using this right now. I did have another mic that just pooped out. It was super old. Thankfully, this is working just fine. But all that to say, I still don't have my setup or anything. So I'm kind of all over the place. Right now I'm on my recliner next to the fire. I don't know if y'all probably can't hear it because I've got this on, this little mic, but it's crackling right there in the background. I can hear it. And got still have our Christmas tree. We have a couple of Christmas trees up, but we keep ours up until at least middle of January, because of just of how our church celebrates. Our church celebrates on the Julian calendar first and foremost, so we're a couple of weeks behind. I mean, we still celebrate the Western calendar, but we also acknowledge the Julian calendar. And so we're keeping ours up until February 2nd is normally when we try to keep it up. A lot of times we do take it down before then, or we've been known to also take it down like mid-January. But this year we're leaving them up till February 2nd because we were in the middle of the move during the holidays and we just kind of felt like we didn't get a chance to really like enjoy Christmas or Christmas decorations. So we don't have a lot up. We don't even have ornaments on the trees. But we're gonna just enjoy it for a little bit. But anyway, all that to say, so I'm on my recliner. We don't even have our actual curtains up right now, so that looks funky too, but we're getting there. It's a part of moving and it's a part of like unpacking and all of that good stuff, right? But I'm just excited to be here with y'all live finally. Let me put my glasses on. Let's see if we can get a little bit of a better lighting. I hope y'all are doing well. I hope y'all, my YouTubers, if y'all aren't listening to the actual podcast, I hope y'all had a wonderful Christmas, a happy new year, all of the things. I had just had surgery right before Christmas and New Year. So we had a bit of a slow time, which was fine. We probably needed just some time to, chill and relax. Or me, I say me because the hubby was still trying to get everything moved and whatnot. So yeah, so it was a mix of busy and like chill for me. But nonetheless, we celebrated Jesus and we had a wonderful, wonderful time. We had our Christmas with our church last weekend, and that was fun. So lighting's just terrible, y'all. We haven't unpacked my lighting lamp that I use for videos. So I've got the lights on here in the living area, the dining area, a lamp, and it's still not enough light, but that's okay. That's okay. The important thing is I want it to show up for you guys. So let's just dive into today's episode. So we are going to be talking about probably I might ruffle some feathers here. That's okay. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm not necessarily here to ruffle feathers either. But I want to speak some truth and some experience for you guys because I know that I've gone through this realization, and it was a hard pill to swallow, and it was very painful. It was a painful growth once I finally realized this. So today we're going to talk about, are we chasing Jesus or simply living in Jesus culture? And if you live in the Bible Belt or have spent any time in the Bible Belt, you know what I mean. It is very much so Jesus culture. And I don't necessarily want to say that that's bad. Like, I am so thankful I was raised and grew up around Jesus, and it was common to love Jesus and be a follower of Christ. I am thankful for that. What I wish had happened, however, is that somebody would have truly talked to me about the difference of just existing in the Bible Belt and that just being a part of like everyday life, and it was just the norm. And this is really hard to say, and this is why I say I might ruffle some feathers. It was just the normal way of having a life. It was the normal lifestyle, and it was more of a like comfortable lifestyle because that's all that I knew, versus I was truly following Jesus and I was truly allowing him to be a part of my life. And I hope that makes sense. And so let's just get into it. Maybe some of y'all can relate to this. Maybe some of y'all have never even thought of this. And so maybe it'll plant a seed. That's my hope. So let's just dive in. So one of the things that I realized, so first let me kind of just share my story really quick. I don't want to stay on this too long, but I born and raised in West Texas. Love it. I love being a Texas girl, so I'm thankful. But it can be the Bible Belt, right? It can be Jesus culture. And my husband got a job out north in Oregon, and I did meet amazing Christians in Oregon, so I'm not at all saying they don't exist there or anything like that. But it wasn't the typical or normal lifestyle like of being a Christian. And so I had to learn very quickly that how I lived in my beliefs and just how I naturally did life was very different. And meeting people, when I did meet those like Christians that just were all like living their life for Christ and they were all out for the Lord, they were very, very different from, you know, just people, other people that we met that, you know, weren't necessarily Christ followers. And you could really see the fruit of them, because when you're born and raised in an area that isn't Jesus culture or isn't Bible Belt or isn't lifestyle, that everybody's just living that Jesus life, they really have to seek the Lord and they really have to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit in order to just maintain their faith, if that makes sense. And so meeting Christians in Oregon was very different than the Christians that I knew and that I was even. I mean, they were like, our Christian walks are not, we're not to compare our Christian walk to one another. And I want to say this like in a bad way. I'm not saying that comparison is good at all, but when you can look at somebody and be like, wow, like, I guess comparison's the wrong word, but like admiration, like when you admire somebody for their walk and for like how they are living for the Lord and what they're doing and just the fruit of their spirit. When you look at that and you're like, wow, like that, I don't see that exhibited in my life. And I grew up around Jesus people, you know? And so all that to say, that's kind of the experience I had. And that's when I had my big, big eye opener that I love Jesus. I knew who he was. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, that I did grow up with that. I'm so thankful for that. And that's why I don't want to discount that. But I learned real fast that I had been simply existing in the culture of Christ, but not necessarily truly walking it out. And that took many, many years for me to accept that, if I'm being honest. Like, it was this fight that I had because I still had ego and my ego would not let me admit that. But it honestly probably, like, I was kind of like going through this and having some realizations when we were in Oregon. It wasn't till we moved back to Texas that it really seeped in and it broke my heart. It hurt my heart. And here's why, because when I moved back, I kind of realized, like, even just in meeting new people, new Christians, conversing with, you know, old, you know, friends or people from my old church, not all. So don't think I'm like saying anything or that all the Christians are, it's not that, but having some of the like relational experiences here with Christians was very different than over there in Oregon when we'd meet Christians. It was like just nothing but love and Holy Spirit filled, and you could see the fruit of the Spirit. Christians who actually had to like fight for that walk, as opposed to ones who we just exist in it. We're not having to fight for, you know, that Christianity, like we just live in it, where it's all around us, we're engulfed in it. And so we're not having to really make sure we're living right in order to keep that on us, if that makes sense. And so kind of just having like encounters with Christians that weren't exhibiting that fruit of that Spirit, and that you didn't feel peace around them. And I didn't feel like just gossip and like things that didn't happen around or my Christian friends in Oregon and Washington. You know what I mean? And it just was very different. And like I said, this is on me too. I had to look strongly in the mirror and say, wow, like what I was feeling over there and that like my ego was holding on to. Yeah, I needed to let that go. I needed to set my ego down, set that little precious ego down, and realize that I was more of Jesus culture and not Holy Spirit filled, and that I needed to really understand what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant to withhold Christian values in my life. Just because I was around people who were okay with me saying I was a Christian, that wasn't making me a Christian, nor was it making them a Christian. And so that was a very hard pill to swallow, but I'm so thankful I did. I repented. I spent a lot of time repenting and asking, you know, God to just like for his grace to overcome me and for me to receive that, because I did allow the enemy to make me walk in guilt instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to just convict me. And so that was a process. It was a process. And I'm glad I went through it, as painful as it was, because I felt like I had to like go in and renew so many different mindset issues. And I had to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and renew my mind, right? Because that's what he does. He likes to renew our spirits and our souls and our hearts and our minds. He's so good. And so, you know, it was a long journey. As a matter of fact, I'm still going through it. And I hope I'm always going through that, because I want to always be learning and growing, and becoming a better Christian, and becoming that woman of God that he has created me to be. And so I hope that it's not a journey that ever ends, you know, until hopefully when I'm with him, on the other side, you know, in heaven, you know. So let's dive in. So one of the things that I think can be very dangerous in this culture is chasing emotions. And I actually had a conversation with one of my friends this week. We were on the phone, and she had asked me if I was going to be going to an event with a for a mutual friend that she was having an event. And I told her, no, I really haven't gone to events. Like, I did a little bit when I moved back from Oregon to Lubbock. I even spoke at a couple. But when all of this was starting to hit me about, am I living in Jesus culture? Am I actually living for Christ? I stopped. I had to, because one of the things I realized was, like, these events I was going to and all of these amazing women's, retreats and things that were going on. And again, those aren't bad. I don't think they're bad at all. I think they're very good. We didn't get a lot of those in Oregon. I mean, I think I went to maybe one in Oregon. And it wasn't emotional. Like, it was very like very fruitful. I'm just gonna say it. It was, like, fruitful in the best way. And, like, it wasn't like this crying out and, like, just getting hyped up for Jesus. It was, like, really truly being filled with the word and with peace, and it was beautiful. It was very Holy Spirit led. And again, I'm not saying that events where you get excited for the Lord, I'm not saying that's bad, but what I'm saying is that can be dangerous. And that's when I realized that there was a lot of, like, it was so much more emotion and so much more getting excitement and just getting all the feels. I felt like that was dangerous for my spirit. And so I stopped going, and I was letting my friend know, like, I haven't been to one of those in so long, because I needed to, like, step back and really just start to fill him in my heart without the, like, hoopla. You know what I mean? And again, not saying events are bad. I hope to start being able to go back to them at some point, when I feel like the Lord has led me to go. Like, it's all up to him. I'm letting him lead that for me. And maybe he'll never like lead me to go to one again, and I'm perfectly fine with that. But I do think they're important, and I do think there can be value and fruit that comes out of them. But I think the dangerous part is when we're relying completely on getting people emotional during that event, where it gets dangerous, because we can create this emotional high where then we're going out into real life, or we're going out into our, like, daily walk with him, and it's not that, that vibrant, like, emotional feeling. And so then we can, like, feel like, well, where is he? What, I felt him in that event this weekend, but now, like, I feel empty. And that's because we start to, like, idolize that emotion. And so I think pastors and ministry leaders and event producers, like, be very careful with that. Like, make sure, I wasn't even planning on saying this, but make sure, like, just, a tip, if any of y'all are watching this or listening to this, make sure you're providing also that moment of peace and silence. And don't just create an atmosphere of emotion and excitement. I don't think that does people any good, especially maybe new Christians, or maybe Christians that they don't, they're like, they were the way I was. Like, they didn't realize they were just existing around Jesus culture, and maybe not necessarily living it out. And I remember when I was constantly, like, before we had ever moved to Oregon, and I was actually a ministry leader at a local church, I remember, though, going through those times where, like, I was just excited for the next event so I could feel the Holy Spirit, not realizing or accepting or receiving that he was there with me, even in the calm day-to-day life, even in the just laying in my bed or the mundane tasks that I do around the house. Like, he is there. And that was, like, the biggest blessing when I realized like, wow, it's too emotional for me. I don't want emotions of the Holy Spirit. I really want him to dwell within me, and I want to do everyday life with him, even when it's boring and I'm just doing day-to-day life with him. I want to just do all of my life with him. And I really didn't accept that or even know that about myself, that I wasn't doing life with him. I just assumed I was because it was all around me. All my friends are wearing their Jesus t-shirts and their Jesus caps, and we're going to all of these events together, and we're doing these Bible studies together. And I just didn't realize in my heart of hearts that I was not doing life with Christ. I was doing life in the culture and in the surroundings. And so just, we have to be careful for that emotional high. We could find ourselves chasing after that, and that can get dangerous because then that might lead to other spiritual things that are not of God. It can lead to a lot of new age beliefs. I've seen many friends talk about that. I mean, I have a friend who has a testimony about that, where she was diving deep into new age practices because she kept going to these events where it was giving her a spiritual high, and it wasn't enough. It was never enough. And so when she was by herself and there wasn't a big event going on where she could get that high, she started diving into these other practices that got her so far away from Christ. Thankfully, he reached in and saved her, and she was able to climb out of that and realize, like, oh wow, this is why this happened. So that can be very dangerous. The Bible tells us in Colossians, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And that's exactly what chasing after the emotional high, from church service to church service, or event to event, or even, again, this is probably going to be an unpopular episode, and I'm fine with that, because I'm not saying any of these things are bad. Obviously, church isn't bad. Obviously, I don't think events are bad or retreats or anything. I think they can be good, but we just have to, like, know ourselves, right? But worship music can do the same thing. So just be careful of those things. Make sure that you are clinging to Christ and not all of these things that can give us that emotional high or, evoke an emotional response, because that can be very dangerous. And the Bible, clearly states a lot of these desires and things can be idolatry. Emotions and the spiritual high we get at those churches can lead us to idolatry. So just m understand that the Holy Spirit is always with you. He will dwell in you. Like, you have to receive him, and know that every day, our everyday life is with him, and we don't have to feel emotional to experience him. So how can we be assured that we are indeed chasing Christ and not just participating in the culture of Christ? I said it just a little bit ago, and so I want to elaborate on it. I said knowing ourselves. So know yourself. And that's important because when we know ourselves, we can know when these emotions are being evoked, and we can know, like, we can almost, like, tame them, right? Like, we can understand, like, wow, that was an awesome conference. That was amazing. I felt the Holy Spirit in there. But when we know ourselves, we can also know, like, that when we're getting sucked down just the emotional part of something. And also, so kind of stepping away from the emotional, let's step away from the emotional thing. Knowing ourselves, like, knowing who we are, where we are in life, and being realistic about where we, you know, things that we need to work on in order to, or things that we need to surrender to, for God to like come in and help us. Cause I don't think we can do anything on our own. I don't think we can change ourselves on our own. I don't think we can work on ourselves, so to speak. But when I say work on ourselves, I mean, there is a sense of like, we have to meet God, right? We have to be willing to allow him to come in, to renew our hearts, to renew our minds. We have to take that action step. And so when you know yourselves, like, you know what evokes emotions, you know what those emotions mean, you know what, you know, and then just even going down, like, know yourself, know what even incites like anger in you, what incites jealousy in you, what starts you down the road to like bitterness, or like just knowing yourself, knowing that like, I'm angry at this person because of X, Y, and Z, and I know that anger's wrong, so I really need to give that to the Lord and pray. And like, when we know ourselves, we're able to like hand things over to Christ. We're able to like really invite him in to work on us from the inside out. So it's so important to know ourselves, know yourself. Don't be delusional about yourself, y'all. And I, trust me, I'm still on this like journey. So I'm not saying anything that I'm not telling myself or going through myself or have experienced myself. Like I had to go through that, like knowing myself and knowing like I'm going through, you know, this bitterness because of X, Y, and Z, or my feelings towards this person are very egotistical. Maybe I'm having an ego. Maybe I'm experiencing jealousy. Maybe I need to forgive. You know, like, we have to know ourselves. We have to step out of ego and delusion and know that we're not perfect. We're just faulty human beings. And when we can humble ourselves and know ourselves and see those things within ourselves, we can easily hand it over to Christ and allow him to come in and change us. And again, I'm still going through this. I'm not at all saying I'm perfect or I've figured all this out. It's stuff that I'm still going through myself. Now, how I got to know myself best, and I'm not going to tell you what to do or anything, but just I would encourage you to be willing to be in the presence of just God alone. I do this every morning and every evening before bed. I go into silent prayer where I am just, we have the dogs in the little mud room because it's so windy and cold outside. And I hear one of them crying, so I'm probably about to let her inside when I'm done with this, because they don't like to be inside. They want to be outside. And anyway, if she wants to come in, I'll let her come in. But normally they come in. The only one that wants to be in is Ferdinand. And sorry, I just totally got off topic, guys. I'm sorry. Ferdinand's here in front of the fire, just snoozing away. And the others didn't want to come in. They're like, nope, we'll just stay here until you let us outside. Anyway, I can hear her crying. So if y'all can hear something whining, it's little Olive. She's wanting in where she wasn't earlier. I would have let her in. Anyway, okay, let me backtrack and try to see where I was. Okay, we were talking about being, okay. So I go into what I call the silent prayer, where I just sit in silence with him. I submit my thoughts to him. The Bible tells us to submit every thought to him, good or bad. I submit it all to him, and I literally just sit in silence with him, and I experience and I receive his presence. That's how I start my days, and that's how I end my days, is I experience his presence in my life, and it has been life-changing, y'all. Life-changing. To be able to do that and to just be with him. And that has helped me so much throughout my days to just make sure I'm experiencing him. You know, whether I'm doing dishes or I'm getting dressed or I'm working on, you know, my computer, I'm writing, whatever it is, I have like, it has helped me to really like experience him throughout my whole day. And within doing that, it also helped me to know myself, because I can't even explain it. It just felt like a humbling of myself, like what I have to think, what I'm thinking, what I have to say, the things that are going on in my life are not important. All that's important is that I'm in your presence, Lord. And there was just something about that helped me to like slowly like break away from that ego where I'm so important. I'm the center of the world. You know, I'm the center of my world. I'm the center of my husband's world. I'm the center of our home. Everything I say or do is important. No, it helped break. It chipped that away where nothing is more important than the Holy Spirit being in my life and just being in the presence of God. And so there was just something about when I started to do that, that changed my life. So know yourself, be willing to be in the presence of him and him alone. And that also helps with that emotion thing that we were talking about earlier, where it has to be emotional. It's not emotional all the time, guys. Like when I'm doing dishes and I'm just receiving being in the presence of him while I'm washing dirty dishes, it's not an emotional high. It's a very calm, peaceful existence with the Lord, and it's beautiful. Praying and meditating on his word. And when I say this, I want to be very clear. Don't be a Bible thumper. That's what I'm talking about. Don't memorize scripture so you can thump it on people's heads, or thump it on your own head. Don't go down that route. Like, really, when you read your Bible, when you sit in prayer, do it for the simple, like the simple reasoning of just being closer to him, getting to know him. And when I changed my perspective on even how I read my Bible or how I prayed or why I was praying, and it just turned to all about him. I'm not trying to learn to memorize scriptures. I'm not trying to know everything about the Bible. I'm trying to get to know him. That even changed my Bible life, my Bible readings, my daily Bible time. It took the focus off of me and what I can learn and what I can memorize and how I can know the Bible. And just, this is how one of the ways I'm going to get to know you, God. I'm going to sit in silence with you. I'm going to pray with you and talk with you. And I'm also going to read about you. I'm going to read this Holy Bible and Holy Scripture so I can learn about you. It's about you, not about my intellect or my knowledge. It's about you. That has been very, very helpful in helping me know I'm chasing Christ. The next thing is living life that exhibits our Christ walk. What are you doing behind closed doors? How are you treating others? How are you handling disappointments in life? Are you carrying anger? Are you, James 1:20 tells us that human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So anger is a big one. Are you angry at something? Are you angry at the past? Are you angry at your spouse? Are you angry at your friends? Are you angry at your family? Are you angry, at traffic, whatever it is? Anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So put away anger. And you have to, this goes back to knowing yourself. You have to be aware if you're angry. Know if you're angry, repent, and ask God to come in and help you with that. And then this leads me to fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are you exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? That is the best way to know how you are living a Christ walk. Are you experiencing love in your life? Are you finding joy in all things, not just the joyful things, but we have to find joy in all things, good and bad. Are you finding joy in that? Are you finding peace in all things? Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Self-control is a big one. Are you able to self-control? My husband will tell you he's a sugar addict. He has to be has the best self-control with sugar, because like he can have a he at Christmas this past weekend with our church family, he had like 3 pies in front of his face and didn't take a bite. Self-control. Did he want to? Absolutely. But did he? No. Self-control. So let's go through those again really quick just to recap. Knowing yourself, being willing to be in the presence of Him and Him alone, praying and meditating on His word with truly the intent to get to know Him, to be with Him, to grow your relationship with Him, living life that exhibits your Christian walk, and exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And again, none of these can happen on our own. We have to humble ourselves, receive Him into our life, and allow Him to help us with these things. So I hope that this helps you guys. I hope that if this is something you've thought about before, I hope that I could confirm some things that maybe the Lord has been talking to you about. If you've never thought of this, I hope it plants a seed for you, and that you'll pray about it. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I'm wrong. This is just what I've experienced. This is what has helped me. And I will always point you back to Jesus. Pray. Pray about it. If any of this felt uncomfortable for you, if any of this felt oh, wow, I can relate to that, pray. Pray about it. Regardless, pray about it and ask God, am I just simply existing in my Jesus atmosphere where everybody loves Jesus and wears, you know, their Jesus shirts? Again, those aren't bad. You know, am I just simply existing in a culture of you, or am I actually living for you, Christ? Pray about it. Ask Him that very powerful and important question. And I will see or talk to you guys soon. I love y'all. Feel free to share this episode if you feel like, you know, it could help somebody. Comment. Let me know, like, what are your thoughts on this? What are your experiences with this? You know, let's talk about it. And yeah, make sure you subscribe, like, all of those things. I would be so appreciative. The more that happens, if you leave a review, the more this message can get out to somebody who maybe needs it. I love you guys, and I hope y'all have a wonderful, wonderful week.